We are continuing today, Meir Sashem, the fourth chapter of Shara Bitochen, and the Mechaber is talking about over here the distinction between reward and punishment, namely that punishment is explicit. In other words, we know in the Torah what transgression carries which penalty. But when it comes to mitzvahs, so when it comes to schar, reward for mitzvahs, often again the schar is cloaked in some ambiguity. In other words, often the schar itself, the reward, is not stated. And even when it is stated, often it can mean something dramatically different. So the Mechaber is going through a variety of different reasons as to why this is so. So we're up to the second reason. Umehem, shegmula olam haba v'ansho, hayu mekubal eitzel amei aretz mehanaviyim. An additional reason. The reward and punishment of the world to come was something that was transmitted verbally. Ultimately, again, from the Nevi'im, ultimately to the people, umuskol eitzel chachamim, and of course it's more understood by the wise men amongst them. Beinichol zachra b'sefer. However, again, it was omitted in text. Kimo sheinichol eskar harbe meperush hamitzvos v'chalvos b'mdeisha samcha ala kabbalah. In the same way that many of the explanations of mitzvos were often left out, because we relied on a tradition that was passed down generation to generation. So in this second idea, it's not the pshat that we don't know reward. We know reward, but it was passed down api mesorah through verbal tradition. Obviously, like many things that we have in Yiddishkeit, the verbal tradition was challenged, and sometimes again was challenged as a result of various centuries of suffering. But Lamaisa, again, there was at one point in time a mesorah, a tradition for how reward worked as well. Another reason, umehem sha'am harim inasichlus umiyat havana beinyan she'einenu ne'elam. So another interesting idea, that ultimately, again, when we accepted the Torah, it's actually an incredible idea. When Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, we were in a state of foolishness and limited understanding. And ultimately, again, we could see that from that which is written in the Torah. Meaning what? That the multiple times that we complained against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the multiple times that we rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, clearly highlights just a almost like inherent or systemic type of foolishness that we had. Therefore, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducted himself with us as a father who has compassion for his young child, and when he disciplines him, he does so gently and slowly. What does this mean? That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and, I should say it differently, when a father wants to discipline his young child, let me take one step back here. So remember again, the truth is, I should really reframe our discussion. The discussion in this section is not really, it's really on a little bit of a nuanced difference. Previously, we're talking about why it is that reward is explicitly stated and punishment is not. Here, the truth is, the Mechaber is really switching gears a little bit. And in this section, what he's focusing on is, why is it that reward in Olam Haba, in the world to come, is not really discussed? Right? In general, nothing about the world to come is really discussed. But most specifically, again, punishment in the world to come is not discussed. Reward is not discussed. Why not? So remember again, we saw our first answer. Now again, today we started with our second answer, that it was known. It was just transmitted verbally. And somehow maybe parts of that transmission, a part of that Mesorah, were lost. The third idea is that when we accepted the Torah, we were in a little bit of a state of foolishness, a state of immaturity. And as such, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to bombard us with all of the punishments which await in Olam Haba. It was felt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that would be too much, almost like a turnoff for Klal Yisrael, and we would not be able to handle it. Kimo shekasav, kinari Yisrael v'ahevo. Va'av kishirotze alameh espino ben arusa hachachmas asher yala b'hem alamalas hayonas asher lo yivin arna b'esei. Now listen to this. He says, when a father wants to teach his young son different types of wisdom that will enable the son to attain great levels, which the son doesn't yet understand at that particular time. So now, if the father were to say as follows, imagine the father would say, you know what? Work very hard and discipline yourself so that you could attain high levels of Torah. Imagine saying this to a young child. Son wouldn't listen to this, right? He wouldn't tolerate this because he's not holding there. However, again, when the father promises the child some immediate instant gratification, mimachal umishta, food or drink, malbushna, nice clothing, merkeves, noa, a fine chariot, right, a nice ride, good wheels, vadomalaza, or anything like this, and at the same time, yodieu, bimashi saro somiyad, and at the same time, right, the father says that if the son doesn't work hard in his learning, the father will punish him. And punishments that will impact him immediately. For example, again, hunger, lacking of clothing, lashing, and the like. Then what will happen? He will also reassure his son with clear proofs and tangible evidence. Then, Yakil alav lisbo yigias amosher velaseis tarcho. Then the son ultimately again will be able to tolerate the discipline. In other words, what he's trying to highlight over here is due to a lack of maturity, an immature child is often incapable of understanding the great levels that one could reach through hard work. So what does the father have to do to get through to his young son? Instant gratification. That's what's required over here. So if he explains to him, if you do good, you're going to immediately get this. You do bad, you're going to immediately suffer through this. Then the son could understand that. However, when a child becomes a young man and he becomes a little bit more intellectually mature, he will ultimately understand the true purpose in this discipline. And he will have this in mind when he's working hard. The timak be'enav ha'arevus asher hayaratz aleha. And ultimately, again, the pleasant things, right, the pleasurable things that he used to run after will now be insignificant to him. Betchila be'enav v'hayazeh lechem la'alov. And all of this, again, in other words, the things that his father promised him when he was young, ultimately won't be as meaningful to him now, because now that he's a bit more intellectually mature, he understands why he should be working hard in life. So this is the mashal. And we all know this. Every parent knows this mashal. When the child is young and you want to get them to do something, to start explaining to them the lofty levels of hard work and discipline, it's not going to get anywhere. So tell them, you get a candy. Tell them, you get a patch, right? You tell them some type of instantaneous reaction. Then it's understood. But as a child gets older, right, child becomes a man, child becomes a woman, then ultimately, again, they begin to intellectually mature to the point that they're able to appreciate the hard work by itself, and the promises of the candy or the threat of the patch don't really mean that much anymore. That's not the motivation. So the Mechaber says, V'chena bori yisbarach, so too it is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Namely what? Yachal amo v'avchida bigmol onesh memarin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and scared us. When we were spiritually immature, he scared us with punishments. Mipnei shiyeda ki ha'am kasher yituknu la'avoda tigal me'aleim sichlusam bigmol ha'olam abava ansho v'yichavnu ba'avoda elav v'yisna gubo adav. So what happened? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and understood. So when we were spiritually immature, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu instills fear in us by telling us about, or I should say, hope and fear, by telling us about reward and punishment. But ultimately, again, as we go ahead and we emotionally and spiritually mature, I don't need those rewards or those punishments to steer me in the right direction. So essentially, the Torah elaborates on all these physical rewards because that is all we were capable of understanding at that particular time. So this idea, just want to point out, the idea is like this dichotomy. This dichotomy between reward in Olam Hazeh and reward in Olam Haba. Reward in Olam Hazeh is often spelled out, right? Reward and punishment can both be spelled out. Punishment is much more articulated than reward, but both are often spelled out in the Torah. That stands in contradistinction to Olam Haba. Olam Haba is not spelled out. Why? It's very simple. Reward and punishment in Olam Hazeh is for the spiritually immature who need something immediate and tangible in order to motivate themselves in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Olam Haba is for the spiritually sophisticated. When we reach a level and we understand, I don't need those immediate material things to motivate me in divine service. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, because ultimately, again, it's the Ratzon Hashem and it's the right thing to do. And the truth is, another example of this, is how we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in physical attributes. Why don't we describe God in anthropomorphic ways, having physical attributes? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a guf. He has no semblance of physicality. Again, because for the spiritually immature mind, I need something physical to connect to. Another reason why the Torah does not really discuss, Olam Haba. So he goes on, he says, Olam Haba in Adam Roilo Maseyatov Bilbad. There's another reason. Why doesn't the Torah mention reward and punishment in Olam Haba in the world to come? Because in reality, a person is not deserving of reward in the world to come on account of his good deeds alone. He's only deserving of Olam Haba if, in addition to all of his Maisim Tovim, if in addition to all of his good deeds, he meets the following two criteria. Number one, Ha'echad. Number one, it is not enough to lead a good life yourself. You have to teach other people about the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and lead them to do good. As it's said in Sefer Daniel, those who bring the multitudes to righteousness are like the stars forever and ever, but those who reprove, it will be pleasant, and a good blessing shall come upon them. So this is incredible. This is incredible. So it's only when a person has combined the merit of influencing others to be righteous, as well as being righteous himself, then ultimately, again, now by the way, and included in that personal righteousness, the Mechaber says, Gemul Amunas Libo V'Sivlo, which is the merit of the belief in his heart and his tolerance of difficulty, either pain or poverty, only then is he fit to receive reward in Olam Haba. So this is really an incredible idea, that here the Mechaber really highlighting this concept, that part of the reason why reward in Olam Haba is not mentioned is because it's not just about my deeds. It's about what I do and my ability to impact others. What's the second piece that ultimately, again, enables us to receive reward in Olam Haba? Vasheni, chesed me'elokim, nedava v'tova kimo shekasuv, ulecha adoni chesed, ki atah tishalim le'ish kimasios. This is incredible. Second thing you need in order to get reward in Olam Haba, besides your own personal piety, you need chesed from Hashem. Now, why does one need chesed from Hashem? Va'ila bazeh, the reason for this, kim haya ma'isa adam kichol hayom b'mispar, lo yeshakel b'tova achas min atovas habar yisbarach alav ba'olam hazeh, kol shekin imiyeh lo chayt. So listen to this. Even if a person's good deeds, right, his mitzvahs, were as numerous as the sand of the sea, ultimately, again, they would never even measure up to one chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an incredible statement. One mitzvah, right? Any amount of mitzvahs can never measure up to one chesed from Hashem. All the more so if I don't just have mitzvahs, but I have chatoim. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately again was exacting with me and demanding of me that I thank him for all of the good bestowed upon me, then ultimately again all of a person's good deeds would be literally cancelled out when you take into account what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Therefore, it turns out that the reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me is not really solely for my deeds, but there is a healthy dose, ultimately, of chesed involved in this as well. So this is really an incredible idea. So in this fourth reason as to why the Torah does not mention schar and onish, why doesn't the Torah mention reward and punishment regarding Olam Haba? So here the Mechaber says something amazing. Because the Torah discusses things that essentially I control. Right? Again, mitzvahs, averos that are in my control. But reward in Olam Haba is not just about my deeds. I mean, not just about my deeds. In addition to personal piety, I need two other things. Number one, I have to influence others. I have to make a positive impact upon others. And number two, even with all that, even with my good deeds, even with my influence of others, I need chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because Schar Olam Haba is so complicated like that, therefore, again, it is, Mechaber suggests, it is not included or not written or not spoken about in the Torah itself. Okay, so we will stop over here for today. Shkoyach, everyone. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.